So what were the biggest challenges, Michael, as you were growing the business? I mean, because so much of business is knowing all that stuff institutionally, like, you know, all the stuff that lawyers and accountants know, right?
Yeah. And that was the biggest challenge, is that you don't know what you don't know. So how do you know what questions to ask? You're like, you just got to fail and figure it out and then learn from it. And I didn't know that there were so many resources out there for small business owners. But after going through it and then finding people that eventually told us that there were all these free resources out there, it really helped out.
Yeah, like the Foster School was one that you partnered with, right, at the UW?
Yeah, the Foster School of Business was great. And how that opportunity came about was very interesting. We were approached by Starbucks in 2017, I believe. And I remember we got an email and they're like, hey, can we have a meeting with you? And we're like, okay, great. That's cool. Starbucks is reaching out. Like, I don't know what they want, but we'll sit down and have a talk with them. And I remember they came into our White Center location and we didn't have that place built out. We got that place just so that we can make our product there. So like the storefront area was just like all storage area, and it didn't look great. But we had the meeting with her. She came in and she was like, oh, we're building one of our community stores at, on this block. Like, it was on the same block that our location was. And she was like, oh, I did some research. I found you guys on Yelp. And like, we want to carry your product at our community store. Like, huh? Like, Starbucks wants to carry our macarons at their store. This is weird. And so they're just telling us about what the community stores were. And it's about, putting, like, normally Starbucks puts a lot of time and effort and research into where to open up certain Starbucks stores because they want it to be successful. Well, with the community stores, they were very intentional about putting them in very underserved areas where they normally would not put a Starbucks. And along with that, they would hire women and minority-owned businesses to build it out and to furnish everything. And even when they hired, they would hire like people with bad records or like veterans or minorities. Like, it's very intentional to try to help the community. And so when they asked, you know, like if we could carry our macarons there, I was like, oh, okay, that sounds great. Like, how many other people are we up against? And they were like, nobody. I was like, okay, well, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I don't know like how to get set up so that we can get started working with you. And her name was Esprit, and she said, don't worry about it. You know, like, this is what we're here for. Like, this is what we want to do. We want to help you out so we can get you to that point. And so they brought in all of their own people to help us through the process. It was tons and tons of paperwork. And we did that and learned how to work with like a big corporation with like the things that they needed, because it was like way above what the health department requires for you to do. But that's what they needed to be able to work with a smaller business. And so we did that. And I think, when did we launch? I think it was like the end of 2018, around Christmas time. And we started out at like 8 Starbucks stores in the local area. And then the plan was to continue growing, and we got into like 17 of them, I believe. And then they cut the program, and it was very sad, but it was okay, 'cause we didn't have all of our eggs in one basket. It wasn't like everything was on Starbucks. So, you know, it was sad to see it end, but it was great to go through the process so that, you know, we could say that we worked with a big company like Starbucks, and we were able to provide a quality product and give people like peace of mind of like how we were making it, like our process of doing it.
As you're scaling the business, tell me the lessons that you learned about how to hire people. You know, who to hire people. And I heard you say that one of the things that you love about being a business owner is you really are trying to help people develop their skills and figure out what they're best at.
Yeah. And I think that comes from me in my situation when I was younger in school and not knowing what I wanted to do and just picking up odd jobs. But I wish that I had somebody that believed in me and wanted to help me figure out what I was good at. Because I always did every job that I had. I did it well. I always figured out the best way to do it. But in doing so, like, you don't move up. Like, if you're good at your job, they're gonna keep you there, you know. So it's very important to me that when we hire people on, like, I feel like I could read people pretty well. Like, good, I can tell if people are like good people, and that's all we care to have. Like, we don't want people to have experience. We want to be the people that give them experience and train them up and teach them, you know, not just work things, but like communication and ethical things and just being there as like a coach or a mentor, or it's just a leader to them and help them figure out what they want to do in life is just super rewarding to me.
I could see a lot of pride on your face when you talk about that. Is there a person in particular that has been, you know, especially touching to you in terms of developing your employees?
Within my team?
Yeah.
We all do it together. Like, yeah, it's cliche to say, and like, it's kind of cringy when I hear it, but we are like a family here. no, but yeah, it's all about teamwork and accountability. Like, everybody looks out for each other. You know, one thing about what we do is we have a lot of flexibility in our schedule, but the only way to have that is for everybody to look out for each other. Like,
what advice would you have, Michael, to someone who is considering turning their side hustle into their main hustle? If you could go back and tell Michael of earlier years a lesson, what's your best advice?
My best advice would be to reach out for help. I remember when I started, I was always worried about bothering people and asking them for help, because I knew everybody was busy, and I wanted to be respectful of people's time. But now, being in this position and being able to help other people, I tell them, like, just if there's somebody you want to talk to, if you want help from somebody, you can ask them. Because if they're busy, they'll just tell you they're busy. Or if they don't want to help you, they'll just tell you they're busy. So it doesn't hurt to ask. And I think a lot of people that have been through the struggle of starting their own business, they understand, and they want to help out other people that also want to start their own business.
So tell me about Macadons today. How many employees do you have? Where can people find you?
Yeah, Macadons today, we are about 24 employees, last time I checked. So we are pretty big of a company. We have our flagship storefront in downtown Renton on 3rd and Wells. We have our commercial kitchen where we make all of our product, all of our ice cream, all of our macarons are made in our commercial kitchen in White Center. And then we also have a kiosk down in Ruston. And the plan is just to continue growing the brand. So often throughout the business, we've done a lot of wholesale. We make about 10,000 macarons a week. And that's, you know, just a fraction of that gets sold at our store. So, but doing all the wholesale hasn't really built our brand presence very strongly. So now we're really focusing on getting the brand out there to our customers. We just want to be more customer facing.